Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Word on the Street podcast, where we make or attempt to make God's Word plain and simple for the everyday person.
Hello, everyone. Hello, Maddie.
Hello, hello. Good to see you again.
Good to see you too, sir.
You know what's interesting too? It kind of makes me think of like technology and TVs and screens and stuff. For most of human history, probably, you know, there was a lot of time. Like we're talking about this mindset, you know, even going outside and stuff, like we would spend time together with no agenda, but also no distractions, you know, like I think when you're sitting around and there's nothing to do besides be together.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of healing as well. I think that's kind of a missing healing thing for people. This is just something I'm...
Because screens, it's almost like virtual busyness that's robbing us of that moment of rest, and right? Because there's always more videos to watch. There's always more likes to get on Facebook. There's always more articles to read. There's always more... the next level of the game to play. And like, no, you got to put that down. Like that's work and energy that needs to be put aside. You need a break from that.
Yeah.
That's not rest, you know, resting with a device is not rest.
In order to be truly present, right? Like I think about, you know, times growing up with friends, there's no device and we're just outside and there's nothing to do, but we find something to do. But the way we find something to do is like through boredom. Like we can sit there for 10 minutes and maybe no one talks for three and we're looking around and then we joke around about something. And then like, I think that is a missing thing where there's not always something to do and something to consume. You're just sitting there and then all of a sudden you make
like little adventures, even in the moment, little exploration, right?
Yeah.
That's fascinating. Yeah, because growing up, I mean, we just had our bikes and our friends in the neighborhood. There was no sitting inside. Our mom was like, you go outside.
Yeah.
You know, get some water, go back outside. So it's like, yeah, we'd sit and it's like every moment is What are we gonna explore now? Are we gonna climb that tree? And that's an adventure in and of itself. Or are we gonna walk down in the woods? And you brought the gasoline with you. Let's light something on fire. I mean, I'm not saying that that's the best thing to do, but
it
little,
was fun.
It was fun. But little moments of like sort of gets you back to that exploration, you know, adventure and but it's like present in the moment, forging your path.
Yeah.
And that can't be recreated on a device. That can't be, it's being present fully in the moment.
Well, I think that's where inspiration comes from. And I would assume for me anyway, that kind of that relationship where God kind of starts, right? Like when you're actually quiet.
Yeah,
like praying, but like, you know, when there's nothing else, that's when the voice can come in.
Yeah,
I had this guy on my podcast who wrote a really good book. One of the biggest things that he talked about the book, one of the things that stuck with me the most was, you know, we become so routine as adults. We're always have the next thing, and there's always the device or whatever.
Yep.
He was saying time goes by when you're routine and you're doing this and you're always on to the next thing. But the times that you remember in your life, whether they're like vacations or they're special events or whatever they are, you were like present in the moment. So if you can develop more times where you're present and in the moment opposed to, you know, always on to the next thing, then time... you may perceive time a little slower, but chances are you'll remember it too.
That's so true.
Because we get so routine that I mean, as an adult, you're just, there's routines which aren't bad, but
yeah,
time goes by fast.
It does.
The weeks blend together, the months blend together,
and now we have our watches reminding us that we're already late for something, or even in the middle of discussion, it'll go off saying you have an appointment in 15 minutes, and like, that's robbing us out of the moment too, right?
Another thing he said was like about learning something new. So you know how like grade school, grades 1 to 12, the years like dragged on.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But you're learning something new every day. And part of that's aging, right? Like you learn a ton growing up and then less as you get older or whatever, comparatively. But new experiences and learning something new.
Yeah.
And the routines, you become more in the moment.
That's true. Well, because literally, if you're learning something, you're invested in something that you're interested in, which draws you into learning it in the moment. And that's why I think learning virtually is robbing us of real moment-to-moment learning in community together in a classroom. You know, there's something just as much what I learned from seminary was from with my colleagues in class, and that discussion and even challenge and debate in class with the professor there. And I mean, nothing can recreate that, you know, like being on a screen just shuts that off, and I miss it, you know, being in a classroom together.
What would you say biblically for people listening? What's the biblical message about purpose and adventure?
Well, that's a loaded question. It's kind of a passion of mine. So there, after seminary, I was invited to be a part of a fellowship program. It was called the Akinge Fellows, and we ended up putting a book out. And we were talking about faith in the different spheres of like the marketplace. So like faith in bioethics and government and teaching and information technology and science and how do we bring faith back into the marketplace squares of those different spheres? Because the church used to have a voice in society, a trusted voice. Whether people believed or not, the church had a voice, and we've lost that for some reason. So it was a great fellowship program, but we ended up writing a book. And the book was focused on beholding beauty, worshiping God through the arts. I haven't lost your question. God is a creative God, and the faith in arts really resonated with us as a group. So we decided to put out a book on different aspects of art, whether, you know, painting and dancing and music and theater and even like cooking and all of that. There's actually a lot of scripture that speaks to all of those things, perfume making and stuff. I was assigned, choreography, and I loved it because, when you think about it, there's so much momentum and energy and movement that God created, not just in the earth, but when you look at the universe, there's action, there's cycles, there's life, death, birth, renewal, there's even in the earth, the movement of atmosphere and currents and migration of animals and herding animals and stuff. So to get back to your question, I think the adventure is when you think about life that way and God's creation, who he created us to be. You know, in Genesis 2, he's created everything. And on the seventh day, he blesses his creation. And then it says he rests. And I think that rest, first of all, is something that's important to us as his people. He modeled it for us in that sixth day model of how he created. Whatever you believe, rest is important to God, so we should prioritize it as his created people. The adventure, the purpose and significance is that God in the Psalms, Psalm 139, we're fearfully and wonderfully knit together in our mother's wombs. That means God takes time with each and every one of us to create us with specific skill sets and a specific dream and plan that we get to walk with and journey with him on in this life. And you and I were talking about this earlier, that when you go back and God says, you know, when he let there be light and let there be, there's energy in that. There's movement. So when he creates human beings to be sort of the lords of the dance in life on earth that he's creating, the words like subdue the earth and rule and reign, the way he's using those words, if you look it up in the original language, is like harness, but don't abuse it. Steward, but don't misuse it. Rule, but rule in a humble way. And rule in a sharing way. There's actually shepherd and traveling imagery. So we are created to take the reins of his dance and kind of teach the dance, remind ourselves of the dance together as his people, but then teach the dance to other cultures in reaping the benefit of what we cultivate. You know, as we journey and talk about how to build things and whatever, teach that to others and bless others with what you're learning. And before the fall, there was access to God. Like there was access at the garden, walking with him in the garden so that we could realign ourselves with him and relearn the dance if we've gotten away from it a little bit, or maybe God is teaching us something new. And then he wants to share that with the world and wants us to share that. I think there's no grander adventure than that. I mean, so now you have identity, and God has created you specifically as a male or female. That's a loaded statement nowadays, but that's scriptural and actually scientific. God has created you with an identity, with a skill set, with a purpose to, yes, forge your own way, but in community, so that you can move and share and grow and learn together through mistakes and failure, learning from failures. I mean, how else do you learn? You know, I read something that students nowadays, particularly in the U.S., are afraid to fail because they've been taught it's bad to fail. But when you look at people like Carnegie and you know, all these Roosevelt, I mean, they learned from failing. They learned from, well, I guess I've got to declare bankruptcy now, but that doesn't mean it's the end. That's just part of the story. So
there's lots of good sayings on that, like you win or you learn. Fail first, fail often.
Yeah.
Fail forward.
Absolutely. I mean, failure is an education. I mean, that's literally what science is, right? Coming up with a hypothesis and then experimenting and testing it. Most of the time, it doesn't do what you hypothesize.
Yep.
So you go back to the group and come up with a different hypothesis or a new hypothesis or something based on, but we learned this and that. So maybe that's related to, like, it's exciting. It's adventure, right? I mean,
I think it's also the only way for us to really learn too.
Yeah.
Like you can read, for example, you can read theory in a book and stuff. And even like, you know, let's say like with business, but until you get out there and you see how things work and you fail miserably.
Yeah.
You're never going to forget that.
Right.
And it's going to be very important to you because.
Well, and how valuable is it then to say, you know what? I don't want you to fail in this thing the way I did.
Yeah.
So I'm going to teach, you know, like mentoring and discipleship, apprenticing.
Yeah.
Like that's a part of the adventure too, is yoking together, getting your hands dirty together in learning and growing. And man, I could talk about this forever, but I mean, I just think that's getting into the essence of the life that God has for us. And I think there's nothing better speaks to your identity and your purpose and your significance and the mark you want to make and the legacy than living in the moment, getting your hands dirty and gritty and doing something that you love doing to a point where you feel like there's got to be a heaven and a God somewhere, because what I'm doing right now, whether it's painting or wood making or writing music or performing or a love of numbers and calculating, you know, whatever it is, that's when you're doing it, you're like, man, this, there's something otherworldly going on here, because I really enjoy doing this and I'm helping people. Like, I think that's sort of the front line of adventure in growing as a child of God.
So again, it's almost like when you're doing those things, I'm at the right place, I'm at the right time, and I'm helping all these people.
Yeah. Right. I think there's nothing more real than it feels like you're in the essence of reality, right? Hmm. Sort of the front line of time and energy, right? And I mean, wouldn't you say when you're helping someone with mental health or counseling or exercising, even a knucklehead like me, that, I mean, that's, you have a skill set that when you're doing it, it's like bigger than you.
100%. Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Yeah, whenever you help someone, it's just, there's no feeling like it.
Right.
It's much bigger than...
It's bigger than the moment even, right?
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah. Yeah, and... Yeah, it's no different than being a pastor. Like, you don't know one word or one sentence, one mental shift, how much that can impact someone's life and to what degree that'll impact their life for the rest of their life.
I mean, I think that's why I love it so much. And then, like, when you get into why God chose the Old Testament Hebrew and the Old Testament Greek, like how one word can mean this when it has, when it's possessive, but when there's an adverb, it means like the whole rule and reign, you know, like who knew that pointed to shepherding and traveling, like, and dominion, because those are packed words nowadays. Those are kind of dark words nowadays, but yet look how God uses them. In when you get into the language and the context of his creation, he's actually reworking those words into something beautiful and communal and honoring nature, honoring creation, honoring each other and sharing with each other. I mean, is there anything better than that? I mean, I just think it's beautiful. That's what I want to be a part of. Call me deluded or call me irrational, illogical, whatever, but I don't see anything more logical than living that way.
Well, that's beautiful. And maybe that's a good place to end it for today. We could keep going, but maybe we'll keep going next time.
Yeah.
So that's it for the Word in the Street podcast today. Hopefully you enjoyed that. Any final thoughts?
I just like to thank people that have found us and are tracking with us. And I know our release schedule is a little
spotty,
But thank you for bearing with us, and we're here if you need us.
Yeah, send us an email. Send the email if you have any questions, anything you'd like us to tackle. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
And thank you. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bless you guys. Bless you, Maddie.
Bless you.